Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Thanks for being with us here today on this Wednesday. Getting closer and closer to a full slate of college football action. And for us, you know, we cover a lot of the local, mainly the state. The action gets started on Friday night as TCU and CU square off. Joining us now to discuss that big game in 2 days, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, can you feel it, man? We're almost there. After all the discussions about conference realignment and new stuff in college football, we are setting our sights on an actual game for the Buffaloes.
Yeah, and I'm excited about it. In fact, here in about 25 minutes, we're taping our coaches' show in the downtown Boulder. So that always kind of signifies that, you know, it's on top of us, because we always do that about 48 hours out from the first game. So, yeah, a lot of excitement, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I saw your post, Mark, and that, you know, my quick thinking thought, oh, boy, Mark's not going to be able to do 12:30 with us. So this is why we're doing 12:05. So that's, you know, I'm quick like that, Mark. You can always count on me.
You are sharp as a tack, you know that?
I've been told that a few times. Hey, are you ready to are we breaking the news? Are you going to break the news at 12:30? Who's the starting quarterback for the Buffs on Friday night?
That is the $64,000 question, and it's still up. My guess is, this is my semi-educated guess, is that Brendan Lewis gets the start, but we see both quarterbacks.
Interesting.
That's just my guess. But you know, yeah, they've been keeping that awful close to the vest. And there's a reason for it. I mean, when you think about it, they've been doing the same thing down at Sonny Dykes. Is doing the same thing at TCU. He's got three different guys.
Yeah, I read that. Three guys could see time.
Yeah, and so it's you know, a little bit of gamesmanship on both sides. You know, one's looking at the other going, well, if you're not going to name a starter, we're not going to name a starter. And so I think that's a little bit what's going on. But, yeah, we'll find out when whoever it is, whether it's number 12 or number 5, whether they run on the field, I'll be breaking the news to the world on, just like my cohort, Brian Estridge, can do for TCU. He'll do the same thing on their radio network, right? But whoever runs out there will say, hey, guess what? It's this guy. But right now, it's you know, like a state secret, both here in Boulder and down in Dallas.
Top secret stuff. Mark, okay, I always wonder about this with coaches. You know, I mean, I'm hearing Harbaugh say, you know, nobody knows what the future holds as far as his quarterback decision goes. When do these guys know? When did Carl Durrell know, or does he not know yet who his guy is?
No, they know. They all know. And I'll be real honest with you, real frank with you. I'm not a big fan of this kind of thing, right?
Me neither.
You know, I don't care who the coach is or what the program is. I understand if you've got a heck of a battle going on, you eventually have to name somebody. And I don't know that it makes such a difference that's going to affect the outcome of a game. To me, the idea is, you know what, you schedule them, you play them. This is who we are. We're going to go out and go nose to nose with you. I believe in my guys. And so that's just the way I view it. A lot of football coaches obviously don't, because a lot of them are playing this, you know, this game to keep it a secret from everybody until the game actually starts. And, you know, then at that point, what was the point of the whole thing? Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, listen, we pretty much know what your offense is. You're going to try and run the ball some. You're going to try and throw the ball some. You know, there's no, you know, one of these quarterbacks isn't going to come out and levitate, for goodness sakes, right? I mean, we know what's going to happen. And so that's why I've never been a big fan of it. But it is what it is, and we deal with it in the world of sports.
I'm with you, though. Like, and this goes with the NFL and college football. Even in the preseason, I like just saying, hey, go with the guy. He's the guy. Go forward with him. He's taking all your reps, and you know, mentally everybody knows that. Outwardly everybody knows that. And if he's not the guy, at some point pull him and then put the other guy in there. I'm with you. I understand it, and I'm not trying to knock Carl Durrell at all, because I think he's awesome.
No.
But all of it, whether it's this situation or Michigan's situation of saying, hey, we're going to play this guy this weekend and another guy next weekend. I mean, come on, go with one guy, and if you don't like what you see, pull him.
Yeah. You know, and listen, let the best man have the job. And, you know, and I understand it, and this has been a very close battle. So I understand you wait, you know, a considerable amount of time. You want to give them, you know, all the scrimmages and as many snaps as you can, then to figure out which one you're going to go for. And even if you get a situation where we're going to play, you're going to see both quarterbacks. I mean, that wouldn't be the first time that's happened. Well, great. Okay, fine. You know what? We decided that quarterback A is going to start, but we're probably going to see both guys. All right, fantastic. And we kind of move on. But, you know, we kind of act like somehow, you know, are you making a choice between, you know, some third-string guy and Tom Brady? No, that's not the way this works, right? I mean, they're both competing. We understand. when they get out there, we know what the offense is or what it's supposed to be. And to me, it's a little bit of gamesmanship. And then you got a game like this where both sides are doing it. So I think that kind of plays into it as well.
Yeah, I'm reading the headline with TCU. They might have three quarterbacks. Heck, might throw six of them out there, man. Just see what happens.
Right. Yeah. So, but then again, you know, there's that old line that if you got three quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's always interesting to me. You would think at some point when you're talking, I understand when you got a one-on-one battle like we got here at Colorado. I don't think anybody has a three-on-three battle, for goodness sakes. You know, one of those guys is going to pull ahead at some point in time. You know, the Duggan kid is quite a bit of a more running quarterback, and then the Chandler kid, who I think is going to start for TCU. I mean, he looks like he's not so much a runner, more of kind of a traditional quarterback. But you would think somebody is going to rise to the top, but, you know, maybe not.
Well, Mark, let's talk about this TCU team. I'm looking at the spreads, and again, you can only take so much from this first weekend, but TCU opening up, at least according to ESPN, as 13.5-point favorites.
Don't understand it at all. And by the way, it started out as like a 7.5-point spread.
Yeah,
so what's going on there? Why is that exploding? That I guarantee you, that's raising some red flags around the country. I guarantee you. And I'm talking about the people that pay attention to that kind of stuff. Mm. Something seems very odd there to me about how that number has stretched that far without any major. You know, it's one thing if you hear, you know, the Green Bay Packers all of a sudden on Friday afternoon aren't going to have Aaron Rodgers. You understand why all of a sudden the spread explodes. What's happened to cause that? That doesn't make any sense to me, especially considering you're talking about a Boston was 4-8 a year ago. TCU was 5-7 a year ago, and they got a new coaching staff. I mean, where's this concept that somehow on a Friday night they're going to come into an electric Folsom Field and boat race Colorado? There's something that doesn't make sense there about that whole thing with New Bradium. And so I'm not exactly sure what to make of that, but it just seems rather strange to me that things exploded the way it has. So think about that. If you're a 13.5-point dog, take also add the 3 points for being on the home field. They're saying that TCU is almost a 17-point favorite over the Buffaloes in a neutral situation. I find that hard to believe, but, you know, again, there's a lot in life I don't understand.
Now, all week we've been gathering information from our insiders for whatever bet we're going to play. So, Angel, did you write everything down that Mark just said? Okay, good. That will help us out as we make our decision going forward. Mark, okay, this I want to get back to the X's and O's, back to the football in just a minute. But I do want to point, Ralphie, what's the Ralphie progress? Like last year, she wasn't quite ready to go the whole field. Are we going to see, how far are we going to see? I'm excited about that. I think it's the best tradition in all of college football.
She did go the whole field last year. No, she did. In fact, I just ran into Taylor, who handles the Ralphie program, and I said, how's her girl? And she said, on fire. They had her out there a couple of days ago. You know, she's up to 800 pounds now. So she was 500 last year. You know, she might be the only one in Boulder that's gained more weight over the last year than I have, but she did. So she's 800 pounds, and Taylor told me that when they took her out for a test run, she was flying, I guess. So she's ready to roll, and she's coming into her prime now as a youngster, and so yeah, we're excited about that.
Mark, wasn't there at least a game though where she didn't go the full field, or was that some kind of a dream that I had?
It must have been one of those. You know when you eat 18 pounds of bacon and you have those meat sweats and those coma induced meat sweats you have. It must have been something that came along that line because she ran. I don't think there was a game she didn't run. I'm trying to think if there was a game that she didn't run last year. If there was any issue. Remember, the first game she came out was phenomenal. And I don't think she had, you know, in terms of running the normal pattern, you know, they normally run down to about the 30-yard line on the other side, right in that area. And I think she pretty much did the full field last year every time.
Maybe we had like a half a yard off, and that's where where I'm going with it, Mark. I'm just
that's
looking
as
at
as precise
you.
As you are, huh?
If you don't run that extra yard, I'm going to say it's not the full field, apparently. Well, it wouldn't be the first time I got something wrong on this show. Let's look again. You know, what do you talked to us the last couple of weeks, you know, about some of those key bullet points to look at for the Buffs. I'm getting excited about the wide receiver core to see, you know, what this group can do, regardless of who that quarterback is. But how about on the defensive side of the football? As you talked about when we were at the Front Range huddle, you're replacing some pretty good football players. I saw Nate Landman jumped on with Atlanta, too, so I'll be curious to see how that goes. Talk to us about the defensive side of the football and how maybe they can make a huge impact on Friday night against TCU.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think I said this when I was on with you from Blake Street that, you know, I think they've got great depth up front, and so that group's going to have to put some pressure on opposing quarterbacks. The linebacking core, even losing Carson Wells and Nate Landman, I like the athleticism of that group. So I think, you know, guys like Quinn Perry, Josh Chandler, Samita, who came in from West Virginia, Robert Barnes, Marvin Ham, those guys. I like that group a lot. There's a good-looking group of athletes. On the back end, they're young. But I'll tell you this. The last couple of weeks, I thought early on in camp, they were showing their youth. I think that group's grown up a little bit. And by the way, they're going to have to, because TCU's got an All-American, preseason All-American receiver, who I think is outstanding. And so they're going to be challenged. But that group's coming along back there. They're very athletic. And they're good-looking athletes. They just don't know what they don't know, right? And so they've got to grow up from an experience standpoint. But the raw material's there. And so, you know, if that was an area I wondered about early in camp, certainly you still don't know until they get out there under the lights. But they've learned a lot during this camp. I think they've done a good job of coaching that group back there. And so that'll be something I'll be watching very early. TCU likes to throw the ball a lot. They'll be tested early, I think, in this ballgame.
Yeah, I'm getting so excited for this one. Cannot wait for Friday night. Big time. ESPN, everything. I mean, this is an opportunity here. And again, it's one game, but this is an opportunity for Carl Durrell and company to kind of at least silence a lot of those doubters, at least for the week being. In the Pac-12, the media side of things and the coaches' polls, like they're not favored. They're not looking, you know, as far as the voting goes and all that. And I know Carl Durrell says all the right things as far as, hey, we don't pay too much attention to it, but I do kind of use it. I mentioned it to my players, and this is what they think of you. And I kind of found that response last week refreshing from Durrell saying, yeah, we mention it, definitely, because there's a lot of coaches that say, oh, I don't even know what the internet is. I've never even looked at anything like that.
I know. Which, by the way, is a total lie when guys say that. They all know what's being said out there. And so, listen, you can't hide that stuff from your team. It's out there. They see it. They're more adept on social media than you know, coaches and guys about my age are. And so they're going to see that kind of stuff. They know what's going on, so don't hide it from them. Talk to them about it. Say, guys, this is what everyone's thinking about you. What do you think about you? How are you going to attend to your business? How are you going to approach these games? What are you going to do with your performance? I think that's a great, you know, I'm not so much into the motivational aspect of it, because I think that lasts up until the ball's kicked off and nobody remembers it. But it is, I think, it's a mindset as you're moving forward about, okay, there's a lot of doubt about this. How can I improve myself to alleviate that doubt out there? And so I do think there's value in that in some respects. But, yeah, I think Colorado's got a real chance. I mean, I think Carl's doing a great job building depth in his program. They've got athleticism. They've got some playmakers out there. Now they've got some youth, and that's something that's got to grow up. But you know what? That they can do that very, very quickly. I think they've got a great opportunity coming up on Friday night.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it. Mark, what time do you get rolling with everything? I love following all your other stuff, too, outside of the game. You know, like you're talking to Coach Durrell here in about 10 minutes. I love that stuff. But when do you guys get rocking and rolling on Friday night?
6 o'clock in the Colorado Football Network in Denver on 630 K-Hound around the state for our various affiliates. And then we'll be out at Franklin Field for the first hour in, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. And let me get back to the booth and kick it off just after 8 o'clock. So really looking forward. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Can't wait, man. Love your calls. Keep them up. Keep up the great work. I'm excited for another season to hear Mark Johnson as the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes.
And I look forward to talking to you next week when we unpack a little bit. Thanks,
buddy. All right, my man. There he is, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. I thought Ralphie had a game where she didn't go to, I guess, the 30. And I'm not like the most, I don't go to every Buff game in the history of the world, but I could have swore there was a game. That maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I made that up. Maybe I didn't know she was only going to the 30. So I thought, well, she didn't go the full field. I thought she, but again, 800 pounds.
It looks a little different running on the field at 500 versus 800 pounds.
She's ready to go, man. I love that tradition.
It is so cool.
It is awesome. Listening to Mark, do you feel more confident about CU maybe covering, maybe winning on Friday night?
I say I'd feel more comfortable with them covering. Obviously, the quarterback decision is big, but as he explained, that, you know, it's a quarterback, whatever. Whoever goes out there is going to play. So, you know, excited. Don't really know a lot about this Buffs team, but just looking forward to see them out there. Like, you can't beat Friday night in Folsom Field. Lights are up, crowd's going.
And that's my problem sometimes with this, Angel, is we get reporters on, we get, I don't know, I guess they're the same thing, but insiders. Like Mark works for, not necessarily, I guess to you, but the radio network that is the voice of the Buffs. So, I mean, his job is always to put the Buffs in a good light. Now, again, Mark is pretty critical. He will be critical when they deserve criticism, which is what I really appreciate about Mark. But that's my problem as I get these guys on and I start believing too much as opposed to just taking some information, but not a lot of information. So Mark's got me excited right now, maybe thinking the Buffs pull off an upset.
You never know.
I mean, he's shocked at the 13.5 point spread. Just shocked. And he's thinking, he said it started out at 6.5 or something, and now it's 13.5. What's with the leap, man? I mean, CSU's Michigan's went up at least 4.
Might be people putting more money on TCU.
There's all that magic that goes into the gambling. Because Clark will tell you, Clark Johnson of Clark and the Coach, I mean, he knows his stuff when it comes to the lines and everything. And he'll tell you, hey, a lot of times it's what it is. It's people going in a different direction on the bets. I don't know. We make our picks on Friday. I'll make all my picks. I'm 0-1, but I guarantee you Monday when we talk, Angel, at 11:05, we will be discussing me absolutely destroying a 500 record. I will be well over that between my 5 picks this weekend. 5? 4. Is it 5? It's 5. We are throwing Wyoming and Air Force in there. Decided to. What did you think of my Twitter poll last night, Angel? I don't know if you saw it. I just said, I want to ask everybody what you're more excited about, which team you're more excited about watching this weekend. And a lot of votes on this. CSU, CU, Northern Arizona, Northern Colorado, or Air Force. I did not put Wyoming in because you can only have 4, you can only use 4 slots there. So I decided to stay in state. And I did get one comment that put a Wyoming flag up there. CSU, 64% of the votes. And then Northern Colorado, 20% of the votes. More people are excited about that follow me anyway. CU, 9%. Air Force, 7%. Which, again, go look at that. That'll tell you why I don't talk a lot of Air Force. Because we don't have a lot of Air Force followers, and we could probably improve upon that. But that goes to show you a lot of my listening audience. It's CSU, UNC getting 20%, and then kind of everybody else. But, yeah. It is what it is. I think the CSU thing's very exciting. That's the exciting story of the weekend.
Definitely.
I mean, you're going to Michigan for air raid, new stuff. Ed McCaffrey's been here for a second. So you're excited, but it's Houston Baptist. They should win. Are you pressing the panic button if they lose to Houston Baptist on Saturday?
Yeah. You need to beat this team by a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
No excuses.
They got to get off to a fantastic start this season. Go 1-0, and then who is it? Wyoming the next weekend? Oof! I heard Blake Olson say he's taking the Bears.
Blake had him like 5-0 to start, and then we kind of just stopped the predictions
now,
from there. But
you did
kind of knew where we were going with that. But
undefeated. I was drinking some Kool-Aid at the spring game. I was drinking some Kool-Aid because I gave him 7-8, and I don't know that I'm feeling that now, but. The schedule is way easier than what it was last year. And there is Elijah Dotson. Like, that's a big name. How many yards did he have last year? He's Sac State, right?
I think his career high in college, like 1,500.
Yeah, so if he could produce something like that, you're winning games. You're winning games.
From what I've heard from players in the locker room, from coaches, that he's just a work hard guy. First one in, first one out of the weight room, the locker room, the field. I'm ready to see this dude run.
Yeah, he was another one in the spring game. He and Dylan just played the first sequence, the first series, and then they came out. But they were there for spring practice and all of that stuff, which is more important. So we're getting there. We're getting close to that one. Great coaches show last night. Blake Olson and Aaron Rath did a fantastic job of previewing and breaking down UNC and Houston Baptist. I'm very excited to see what they can do. Some great action coming up Friday night, though. I'm ready for it. That's going to be a blast for with CU, TCU. And I'm starting to I don't know why, but I'm starting to believe a little bit here. I'm believing in the Buffs for a game, at least. I don't know. I'm scared. Help me out. 25 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.